I picked up the flashlight from near the dusty ground before slowly studying the artifact with heartfelt desire. The formation was a symbol of a great divide and of haunting turmoil. I called to my colleague,
"I found a shard, Franklin!"
After several moments of excited clamoring, a tall, well-built man with short black hair and brown eyes stood on the platform above me. Franklin's dark leather jacket and khaki jeans complemented his brown skin. His angular and muscled body was always covered with some form of leather, and it seemed to suit him well. No one else understood why he wore a leather jacket, especially during a hot period such as now. I was the exception to the rule, as with so many things.
"Where is it, Tori?"
Franklin's deep voice brought my thoughts back to reality.
"Oh, over here,"
I replied, embarrassed by my high and feminine voice, and, as always, I coupled my embarrassment with a blush. My voice never sounded like it was from a tall, strong, and full-boned structure, but it was. No one dared question my oddities like they had all those years ago. When I was younger, I received never-ending torment. Most people despised my hair and eye color because they were too abnormal. It was so ever since the genetic crusades sprung into the history books. They marked the first global conflict over food sources. Thousands were forced to eat genetically modified food that caused various changes to their genetic code. No one could explain exactly why this happened, as the history books do not share details about the time period. It was the first of many crusades, as hundreds of millions were forced to do the same, regardless of their food supply. Those of us who knew enough about the forbidden bits of history, as passed down by our parents, knew the food was developed to change the human race. The modifications become apparent as more of the populace showed similar color of features and more uniform traits, particularly in those who partook of the food. Those who married and had children with the Zero people found that the genetic markers were dominant and passed down regardless of the sex of the parent. Over time, these traits dominated the gene pool. Things like brown eyes and black hair had become ordinary. Any other color was considered peculiar for no other rationale than the characteristic was different, the hue non-conforming. We who were unusual learned the same songs, same pledges, even learned the same math skills and science facts. We attended the same universities, sought diverse friends, and every other customary task for acceptance in society. Yet, people would still treat us as if we were abnormal.
"I think you may have found one. We will need to test it up at the lab to be sure. It's obviously not a pure sample. Tori, are you okay?"
I shook my head as Franklin's words seeped in. By his tone, he could tell I had shown my thoughts. I always became gloomy after such meandering feelings. I have not, after 30 years, understood the premise for discrimination, even as they, those who call themselves absolutists, drilled the reasons into my brain.
"I am fine. So the shard won't last as long as fuel?"
I asked, with a forced, inquisitive expression. I already knew the answer was yes, so I plowed on.
"Should we keep digging for more?"